Hey, good morning, and welcome to another Friday and Inside Petaluma. I'm Cindy Thomas, a co-host here with Jason Davies.
Good morning.
And with Janice Cater Thompson.
Good morning.
And here we are again, back for another episode. Yes, I love this show. I'm hoping you guys out there are loving it, too.
Right on.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to say right off the bat, you're listening to KPCA 103.3 FM, and you can also stream this show at kpca.fm and click the Listen Now button. And also, let's remember on the front end and the back end to always tell people about our website.
Yes.
What's the website, Jason?
That is insidepetaluma.com.
Okay. And we do put all of our shows on there. So you can listen to past shows at any time.
Yep, we have links, interesting links. We have campaign statements over there. So all of the, you can look at the campaign funding statements there. And all our past shows are archived there. There's also an opportunity to comment. We welcome any feedback. If you have an idea, if you want to be on our show, let us know.
Yeah.
We love it.
Okay, we've all had our nose to the grind this morning following a candidate forum that was held a week and a half ago at the Petaluma Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing we didn't talk about, we did talk about that last week, but one thing we didn't talk about is how revenue, the subject of revenue mm-hmm. for the city came up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lots of ideas.
I got a quick question. Did they talk about a minimum wage increase proposal?
Yes, they did.
Okay, I'd like to.
Yeah. And I was thinking that I'd like to maybe do that, maybe at our next show, invite Marty Bennett to come and talk about that since, you know, he and I started the Living Wage campaign back in Sonoma County Living Wage campaign back in 2000. And I had to leave that a number of years ago due to illness in the family, but I think that it would be worth having him come and talk about living wage and the, and I'm sure he's got the data for the minimum wage.
And you know, and talk about why do we have to wait? Why can't we be more progressive and do something now instead of having to wait mm-hmm. on what the state is saying? But I will say that one candidate, Dennis Posake, mm-hmm. has really talked about the importance of a living wage because if two people in a household work, that's $30 an hour, and then they're able to at least afford to live in our community.
Right.
But at $15, you know, just as a single person, it's nearly impossible. So I think it's really important for people to put together the what affordable housing is, people that want to live in affordable housing, and they could be our children that are making each $15 an hour and putting $30 together, you're able to live in a community.
And that's really admirable for him to say that coming from a household with two incomes that are both that of physicians. So,
mm-hmm.
you know,
and that's the one thing about
very considerate
Dr. Posake, when I met him, you could feel it's in his heart.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
It's really in his heart. So, you know, I think it's something worth talking about, but I really, I do want to hear about the revenue.
There were some contrasts on that $15 an hour minimum wage mm-hmm. because most of the candidates actually were for it, but there were two candidates that were against it, and that was Harris and Reagan. They both said, well, let's see, Harris is quoted right here in the Argus. He said, I don't want to put our businesses at a competitive disadvantage out there. I think it's very important to follow what the state is already doing. So anyone out there who's making minimum wage right now in Petaluma, and if you're happy with that, you know, stick with Harris, I guess.
Well, no, I think the interesting thing is that when you're talking about Reagan, he talks about how he's a housing expert.
Yeah.
Well, a housing expert should be able to add one plus one and, you know, come up with an answer. And he wants housing, but he doesn't want people to be able to afford the housing. So who does he want to build the housing for?
Well, I don't understand the housing expert point. Because
I don't understand it either because he's a mortgage broker.
Yeah.
That's kind of a shark. That is not an expert.
I don't know. I mean, it felt that way. I got a very, like, salesy vibe from him. Anyway, so the minimum wage was discussed, and it seemed like all the candidates were in favor of raising it because it is it's so difficult to actually live on anything less than that, and it's hard for businesses too because you know, if the people can't afford to live here, they can't come here to work.
No, they can't. And you know, you're trying to encourage people to be able to live and work in their mm-hmm. own community, and yet you don't want to pay them enough to live and work in your community.
So then they have to get on the road and drive.
That's
right. And clog up our arteries.
That's
right.
Or, you know, we can talk about, yes, they can get on the smart train depending where they're going. Mm-hmm. But that costs money, too. And when you're making less than $15 an hour, that's not always possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's, and, you know, and when you're, I'm just looking at this article, the statewide minimum wage is set to increase to $15 by 2023. Mm-hmm. Would like to see it sooner than 2023.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the topics that came up on the subject of revenue was marijuana.
Yep.
And there were some contrasts there. Three mayoral candidates, they got a chance to face these questions. The conversation, and this is from the article, it says the conversation on possibly amending the city's marijuana business policies, which currently allows for two delivery services, was one of the more robust discussions of the night and helped differentiate candidates that have been on the same side of issues like housing and infrastructure. Most candidates believed that overturning the ban on dispensaries would provide a new stream of much-needed tax revenue that could address many of the city's needs. I was just looking at Cotati, and they projected something like $300,000 in tax revenue, and that's a pretty small city.
Yeah.
So how many potholes could we fill with pot tax money?
So
it's cute. Yeah, that's very cute, Jason.
So who were the candidates that supported overturning that?
Yeah, it says, however, Harris and council candidates Kevin McDonald and Michael Reagan said the city would be wise to follow a wait-and-see approach. I'm a little surprised to hear that from Kevin.
Yeah.
I think he didn't say no to it. I may give him an email or something on that.
Yeah.
Kevin's a good guy.
To me, it was a safe answer for saying no. That's...
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's how I read it when mm-hmm. I was there and I heard those. Mm-hmm. So
here's what he says, though. He says, do we want to chase this taxation money from this group or try and solve our multiple financial problems more broadly, more evenly? I'd rather wait and see. I wouldn't change what the city has for its cannabis ordinance at this time. Other cities are facing this. We'll learn a lot by paying attention to all the communities around us.
Yeah.
So it's similar to actually David Glass's position on the issue, although Glass said one of the reasons he didn't want to go there was because he's worried Jeff Sessions is going to start cracking down on states that have decided to legalize marijuana.
Yeah, I think at the time, I think it was a prudent decision, mm-hmm. but in the meantime, that doesn't seem to be a problem that's going to be coming forward with Jeff Sessions, at least on marijuana. Other things, yes, women's rights, but not marijuana.
Yeah. Not right now.
Yeah.
They're frying other fish up there in Washington, D.C.
Exactly.
So, go ahead,
no,
Janice.
I just want to say that, you know, when I was interviewing candidates for the Cotati City Council who were Democrats, mm-hmm. Cotati has a tax right now. And that tax was put in because in 2008, when the economy dropped, they sold this tax to the public because it was a short-term tax.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really been a benefit. It's kept Cotati flowing.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're saying is the amount of money, revenue that they're getting from their marijuana and the TOT tax that they will be creating because mm-hmm. they're going to have a boutique hotel now will actually take the place of the sales tax,
mm-hmm.
and which is a really positive thing. So I think Cotati is actually a very good example
mm-hmm.
How you could sell a sales tax, mm-hmm. number one, short term, but also get that revenue going. But in the meantime, the city of Petaluma has the opportunity with the TOT
mm-hmm.
and start talking about the marijuana and what kind of revenue that we're really talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not taboo to talk about this anymore. It's
not
legal.
No.
We may as well get into the market. You know, alcohol is legal.
Yeah.
Marijuana should be legal,
yeah.
You know, and we just need to kind of move on with this.
Well, what has been found in a lot of countries that have done this a long time ago is if you legalize or decriminalize soft drugs, it actually has a positive effect on reducing the use of harder drugs. It also frees up resources for police to focus on, you know, really dangerous issues. And we do have some of those in town. I mean, there's, you know, just recently, sadly, a student, a teacher assistant, rather, at one of the schools is no longer helping in the music department because has an issue with heroin.
Yeah.
That was very sad.
Sad story.
And I hope it gets treated because we have to look at this as a health problem.
I'm sure you know the story. It was the young man who was found asleep in his car at a red light during night.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And he was very good at his job. You know, my son and my daughter knew him very well, and they had to, the teachers had to tell them what happened, why he was no longer going to be coming to the band. What I hope is that, and I think it's
tragic,
the case, is that this is going to be treated in his case as a health concern. I hope that this doesn't become a legal issue for the people. I just, the way I feel on these things.
Well, if it's his first time, more than likely it'll be a rehab and not a jail.
That's what I hope, because it can only get worse sometimes.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I have a good friend that I've known for about 3 years, and he is homeless part of the time, and he talks about, you know, the drug use in the river area, like the Russian
encampments.
River area, the encampments and stuff. And, you know, and he has been clean, and he kind of relapsed a little bit, and now he's clean again. And it's just really eye-opening to listen to somebody who's homeless and, you know, trying to find homes. But it's really about the drug use. Mm-hmm. And it is really big. And I really am a believer in getting people help that they need, mm-hmm. not putting people in jail. But it's disheartening to see how much of that is really going on in the county. And I think it would be really interesting, actually, to have a police officer to mm-hmm. talk about this so we can actually have a little bit more open conversation mm-hmm. of what they feel about the cultivation of marijuana. In the past, I was more concerned and reserved about it just because it wasn't legal. But since mm-hmm. it's been legal, I'm kind of becoming more open and talking about it. But I do have concerns when you read in the paper when people coming from back east are going into people's homes and in properties and starting to kill people.
Well,
I mean, that's the bottom line.
There was an incident.
There's been a couple incidents.
There was one where they held someone at gun, held a family at gunpoint. They were in a house.
It was the wrong house.
It was the wrong house. Yeah. It had nothing to do with it. And just imagine your home with your family, and suddenly people break into your house and hold you at gunpoint and start asking for money and pot, and you have no idea what they're talking about. And apparently they had old, bad information. But you're right. They came all the way back from the East Coast. And this is the problem with not doing this on the federal level, frankly. And until we do that, you're always going to have this incentive for people to carry this stuff from one state to another.
Yeah.
And so it isn't, you know, it's not a simple issue. But I will say, look, I mean, I listened to, let's just take Michael Reagan. I listened to him on the radio when he was on one of the shows here with Matt.
Two Mooks and a Mic,
thank you. And I remember distinctly him talking about we need to consider possibly going above the 5-story limit. We need to, you know, because that will allow us to build more housing at a lower rate. And we need to leave no stone unturned in terms of revenue. And he said he'd consider everything, is what he said. And then here, when it comes to marijuana, he wants to take a wait-and-see approach. So, you know, look, we have revenue problems, and there are solutions, and other cities are doing this, and it's mm-hmm. working, and this is urgent. We're told by the, you know, the police and fire they need more revenue. Well, you know, we're making several $100,000 a year or more. I mean, maybe in Santa Rosa they're saying as much as $1 million.
How much do you think is walking out of Petaluma and going to Mercy Wellness in Hadati?
A lot. Yeah, I mean, I know that people do that. And
well, you know what?
Retail leakage.
I'll admit it. I go to Mercy. And
I like that retail leakage.
I admit it. I go to Mercy, and I prefer to spend money in Petaluma. But I go to Mercy, and let me tell you, I see a lot of people there. I see my dentist there. Yeah. I see everybody. Yeah.
So,
that are running my circles
But yes, I've been there.
Yeah.
I admit it. So back back in the day, back in like 2010, I think the first time I ran for council, and I don't mean to denigrate anyone. I just recall this as a thing. There was one of the candidates that kept saying, I won't mention the name, but the record will show it. But the candidate kept saying, we need more shopping opportunities. We need more shopping opportunities. And the big message was for, you know, another shopping mall, you know, retail tax, all this stuff. And, okay, retail leakage. This is retail leakage.
It is. It is. And I'm sad to say how much I spend in Cotati that I could be spending here in Petaluma.
So we're losing money.
And I don't have a problem.
Yeah. No, so that's I was kind of surprised to see that it wasn't more unanimous, because I think it's like 60% of the voters in Petaluma voted for that initiative.
Well, I think it's foolish to think that people do not smoke marijuana.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, you may as well, you know, take the shroud off and, you know, start, you know, being honest about this.
You know, it's not even the smoking thing either. There's people who are ill that rely on this.
Right. And the oils and just the other medicaments that come with it.
And that's primarily what I use it for is migraine.
Right.
It doesn't make pain go away, but it makes it tolerable.
Right.
Yes. My stepmother actually uses it for pain.
Right.
The CBD stuff, it doesn't have the THC in it.
It just
relieves pain. And, it's
well,
very
I have those, too. I have little gummy bears. I eat a little gummy bear every night before bed. It's got CBD in it, and I sleep like a baby.
It's really interesting. I think, you know, we'd love to talk about really the history, you know, of marijuana, I mean, throughout the country, and who they were giving drugs to, who the government wasn't giving drugs to, the experiments that have been happening.
Yeah.
And I just don't think people realize that there's a long history.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And
the Indians were onto something, the Native American Indians.
I mean, okay, smoking has health problems.
Yes,
that's a health issue,
right,
no matter what it is you're smoking. But there's other ways to take it. And, of course, typically when people do smoke it, it's not like they're smoking one after another. So there are, and, of course, there's no nicotine.
But we do, just
to be clear, there are two delivery services, I guess, that have been authorized, but I don't know if they're actually up and running yet.
They're probably running through red tape right now.
Yeah. I know that one was selected, and I think there's an allowance for two, and I don't know if it's actually happening yet. So
is that local, or is it Mercy Wellness
coming
here?
No, it's local.
Okay.
I mean, it's
kind of like whether it's Safeway, Raley's, or whatever is delivering your groceries, the same type of thing.
Yeah. So I guess you contact them and they come to your house.
Okay.
So that was a step forward.
Yep. Yeah. And by the way, I'm looking at the Petaluma ordinance. It says here, such delivery must be carried out by a person at least 21 years of age and occur between the hours of 8 o'clock a.m. and 8 o'clock p.m. So it's not like we're going to be running drugs all night long on a Friday and Saturday night here in town.
So is this...
No, it's like pizza delivery.
Yeah.
But more tax revenue.
When you open up the pizza lid.
And mind you, the tax revenue could be huge.
Yeah.
The portion of tax that I pay when I go to Mercy is almost a third of what the actual purchase is. It's at least that. I'm thinking it's... Don't quote me on this. I think it's 38% or something like that. But it's high.
Yeah.
38%?
It's high. It's very high. It's very high. And I don't know.
I saw 15 somewhere, but I don't know. This was for the tax for...
Well, let's run up there and see.
Oh. After the show.
Take Janice on a tour.
Yeah, right. I haven't been in there yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. The health stuff, there's no known dosage that will kill you. So you can't die like you could with alcohol.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to drive on any of these things, and of course that's illegal. But in general, you don't have the motion control issues. So, you know, there's a lot of things that make it a less harmful alternative. And, you know, that report came out about alcohol and it's been going back and forth. Some people are saying, I'm not sure. But there were some serious studies that said that there really is no safe level of drinking, that even if you're a casual drinker, you're increasing your risk of cancer. But they don't have that with marijuana. So one thing Lagunitas did is they teamed up with a dispensary or a manufacturer of cannabis-infused products, and they're now making a drink. But they can't actually produce it here yet. So what they do is they produce the portion of the liquid part, and then that gets infused. I think it's Sebastopol.
Tincture or whatever.
Yeah.
Wow.
And look, Lagunitas isn't dumb because they're owned by Heineken.
That's right.
Heineken knows where this future is going,
right.
And I see that. I see people.
Well, John Boehner, isn't he on a board?
Oh, of Heineken?
No, for a marijuana board.
Oh, is he? And you know what's going
to
happen.
So, as long as there's money to be made, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat, Republican, independent, anything.
Isn't that funny?
It's about money, and it's...
R.J. Reynolds is getting involved.
And
this is actually one of the reasons that people were opposed to legalizing it.
Right.
Because they were worried that big business was going to take it over. And to an
extent... Of course they were going to.
And to an extent, that is what's going to happen. But there are still craft breweries. There are still craft beers. I think that can still happen.
I thought it was interesting that recently Lagunitas, was it 17% of their workforce that they let go? Or there was a percentage?
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
Well, but it kind of makes sense because, you know, and when you're talking about looking at making a beer so you mm-hmm. could put a T-shirt mm-hmm. in it, mm-hmm. They're looking at different ways mm-hmm. of making money because, like any product, There is a time frame when it starts declining.
Yes, you're right.
And so this is the decline. Yeah. I'm sure they prepared for it, and now they're preparing for the next step.
Exactly.
And they have the money to do that.
Yeah.
And that's the way business, a good business runs that way.
So I tried to buy one of those drinks.
Yeah.
I can't find it anywhere. I went to one of the dispensaries. They don't know when they're going to get it. I think maybe the place in Sebastopol has it. But I just kind of was curious about it. Anyway, but that's interesting. So there's other ways to get the effects of marijuana without actually smoking.
Right, right.
Of course, there's vaporizing and all that stuff. But yes,
but they're finding that vaping is not necessarily safer.
No, because of the glycerin and things.
Well, this is my concern for the long term is. What is the long-term health aspect that are going to come from this? Because we know what cigarettes do, but they're also, additives put in cigarettes.
Yep.
And we don't always know if this the marijuana that people are buying, is it organic? Is it not?
Right.
How much Miracle-Gro are you putting in those?
Well, the law does now stipulate that it has to be tested and certified and all of that. But as far as what you're saying, there's some byproduct chemicals and things in vaping.
Right.
That, yes, the jury's not out yet.
That's right.
There hasn't been long enough. And there's some indications that it could have caused health problems. And there are different types of vaping, I found out, that's like where they treat it with methyl alcohol or whatever they do. There's some process that they use, and that's supposed to be... less healthy. There's there's some other processes that are apparently better, but there's also just dry vaping, where you just take it and you heat it to a level where it's just the actual flower,
mm-hmm.
and it just doesn't burn. It just so you don't have to go with liquid vaping is what I'm saying. You can there's a lot of options for people other than actually smoking, but
edibles are great.
Yeah, edibles is another thing. Not to make the whole show about all the different ways that you can.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I appreciate it.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, in a few minutes, we'll be lighting up now. all kidding aside, it is one of many things the city needs to take seriously in a quest for revenue because that is the fundamental problem. I mean, it was discussed in the forum. On the last show, we talked about the mailers. There was one from the police department talking about how we need more revenue, hire more police. Well, there's only a few options. There's taxing. There's getting, developer fees. There's trying to, sell more products. There's getting grants. There's all these things. I think we need to be open to anything that at least isn't going to destroy the character of our town.
Well, I think, it really goes back to, looking at when you are approving development, you need to look into the future.
Mm-hmm.
What is the future of our revenue going to be? Mm-hmm. As we've seen with the Deer Creek site and with the Target site, there are empty spaces because people didn't prepare for Amazon.
Right.
They didn't prepare for online purchases. And younger people are not, you know, shopping the way that we were.
Yeah.
And I'm changing my shopping habits. So mm-hmm. it's, and the same with the marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to come up to the times, and we need to find revenue, and we need to find solid revenue,
mm-hmm.
and that'll change, too, over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't depend on the revenue the way that we used to. And I'd like to know how can a city actually bond for projects when you don't really know what your revenue is going to be in 5 and 10 years? So
yeah, that's tricky.
It is tricky, but I like to look into the future and not just, you know, look at today,
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. you make better decisions by having the conversations.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And one of the things that everybody brought up when it came to revenue was, I don't think I heard wait a minute, maybe there was a candidate, maybe Brian Powell was against it, but I'm pretty sure that everyone was in favor of not repealing Prop 6. Excuse me, not voting for Prop 6, which would repeal the gas tax. Anyway, so yeah, I think everyone, but I believe one candidate, I got to double check that, but I think pretty much everyone was unified on needing that as a revenue source for fixing our local roads.
Yeah. Well, I will just say something on that I was really concerned when Reagan said that he would bond against the Prop 6 money
mm-hmm.
to build Rainier.
Yeah, you're right. He says.
And so how are we going to get the streets in front of our house fixed if he's going to take all the projected gas tax money for how many years and bond to it? And so which means that what he's really saying is, if you want the street in front of your house fixed, then you need to tax yourself. And that is not what Prop 6 is about, because I've been reading the articles. It's about old roadways that are crumbling
mm-hmm.
that we need to be upgraded. And so there's a concern with the way he is framing what he would do with Prop 6 money. And I think there's a lot of people concerned, especially if you live on Maria Drive or close to it, in East Petaluma. Yeah. It's a dilapidated road, and there's no guarantee that anything is that those roads are going to get fixed with his philosophy.
There was some discussion about infrastructure tax to fund road projects and improve city-owned buildings. That was something Scott Alonso mentioned. And I think there was also similar sentiment from some of the others on that.
I'm looking back here on this article. Brian Powell was the only candidate not to endorse Measure M, the county tax. And
The parks. We can't afford the parks.
He doesn't want any tax at all.
At all, exactly.
Well, the thing that I wish no one mentioned this about that, Measure M, but remember when we actually had the people from Measure M, Dennis was in here and Neil, and we were talking about Measure M
right.
because they've been involved in helping into the campaign for that. And they mentioned the fire thing. And I was surprised that more people aren't aware and talking about that, because to me, that's a public safety issue. I mean, this isn't just about making sure we have nice parks, because when you tell people that, they're like, okay, that sounds like something I could do without. I don't have to have a park being maintained, whatever. You know, I want my streets repaired. Well, it's also about clearing brush. You know,
right.
That's where that revenue goes through these open spaces that we have. And if we don't do that, it can be much more expensive, you know, to have firefighters deal with it, or we lose our houses. So I think that's an important thing also with Measure M.
Well,
and
also with Measure M is it's a health issue.
Yes.
People come to Sonoma County because of our parks. It's
mm-hmm.
not just because of our wine and beer.
And pot.
Oh, it's a revenue issue.
It's a revenue issue. Absolutely. You bring more people on the SMART train. It's the crazy thing.
Mm-hmm.
But people will actually get on the SMART train. They're looking for places to hike. I met some women on the SMART train recently, and they were actually coming to Petaluma because they wanted to do some hiking. So I was telling them about Putnam Park and, you know, other areas that they could go hiking. And it really is, it's a revenue issue, it's a health issue, and it's an eighth of a cent increase. And I just think it's a benefit for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not just, you know, so many times, you know, it'll only benefit certain segments, but it doesn't. This is good for business.
Yeah.
It's good for everybody.
Yeah.
So then on the subject of housing, there was this quote from this article in the Argus Courier, referencing Delinda Fisher, one of the candidates that's running, and she's the one with the urban planning professional background. And it said, on housing, former urban planner and nonprofit consultant Delinda Fisher said the city needed to return to its planning roots established in the early 1900s when the urban core was first developed. And she says, our forefathers really understood what they were doing. The council candidate said they put retail on the street, on the front, and they put housing and workspaces above. I'd like to extend that mixed use that we have in our downtown along transit corridors to build more mixed use housing, and we can go up to 5 stories. That's exactly the kind of development we need to be doing.
And that's why these plans were being created. When they were being created, this was the vision.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, because of people like Mike Harris doing hit pieces,
mm-hmm.
we ended up with a council that didn't have the same vision.
Mm-mm.
And we're going back because this is really what the public wants.
Mm-hmm. And also they talked about the Crosstown Connector, the Rainier Crosstown Connector. Reagan said he didn't care how long it would take. Okay. But progress
needs... Well, it's only been 40 years. How much longer? You know, let's see, how many more years do I have before I'm dead?
But progress needs to continue and introduce the idea of using revenue from the gas tax bond for Rainier funding. So this is what you were talking about before.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, and this is why I want people to go and look at Corona Road,
which is
built in 1953-54. It fits the criteria, what we're hearing, the ads on the TV for Prop 6, and the City of Petaluma, along with our supervisor and Sonoma County Transportation Authority and Caltrans, need to sit down together and make sure that is part of the 101 widening. Number one, it's very narrow underneath the freeway, and you're now making it 3 lanes, and you literally have maybe a foot on each side before you're going to hit those pillars. It's not wide.
Yeah.
It's a safety issue. It's an earthquake issue. It's a regional transportation road. People can't walk on it safely. You can't bicycle it safely. And yet you built a river trail, which is you take Corona to get to the river trail so we can have more health, you know, more biking.
Mm-hmm.
It all ties in with Measure M. And so I think it's really important. And so this is, you know, I know people think that I harp on this,
mm-hmm.
but it's not that I'm against Rainier.
Mm-hmm.
It has never made any sense. It is fiscally irresponsible. And Corona upgraded will create a safer way of getting across town. It's only maybe less than a half a mile difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, based on... Oh, sorry.
I want the streets in front of my home and your homes mm-hmm. fixed.
Yeah.
That's what should be a priority in this town.
And one good thing is that we have been seeing some roads getting fixed.
And that's
recently.
Because of the gas tax,
yeah.
which is, so you're seeing what it can
yeah.
do, but if you follow what Reagan's doing, all of that will stop.
Yeah, that's what I understand. So, you know, this is just maybe my
own lack
of understanding about the way this would work, but is this meaning that we're promising that some of that gas tax could be used to pay back funding for Rainier? Is that...
That's no, he's saying bond.
Okay.
So you're bonding, but I'm saying who are you bonding? The state?
Oh.
How much is the county going to get? What's the projection? There's more questions, and this is what's really important is people need to not listen to sound bites.
Oh.
They need to think about it and ask questions. It's not about stopping something. It's about what is the responsible direction a community should be going.
I don't see it in here, but there was a funny part of the forum where one of the candidates, I think it was Conklin, who said that, you know, we need revenue, we've got to get some stuff built, you know, we might have to do a deal with the devil. That was his
quote. Yeah, he did say that.
And you know, my jaw dropped a little bit with that, but I also just kind of attribute it to him, you know, being kind of new to getting into politics. But I thought it was interesting because, you know, Barrett contrasted that strongly and said that we don't have to do that. Dealing with the devil, Barrett actually, she did call out the hypocrisy on the Rainier debate. These aren't my words, this is from the paper. And the trust me stance that elected officials have been taking for decades. As consensus. The three-term councilwoman advocated for more substantive discussions on funding from a council that prioritized alleviating traffic congestion. See, this is the thing that bothers me. When people, thoughtful people, pose questions about how we're going to pay for something, that's interpreted as being opposed. that's absolutely
right, ridiculous.
Right.
That's exactly what Kathy Miller did to Janice on Facebook.
She was so disrespectful.
I've got it right in front of me. I've got it. This is straight from Facebook people. Kathy Miller's Janice pointed out just exactly her famous rant that she just gave to us about Corona. Kathy Miller's response was, if Prop 6 passes, in addition to losing the money for the freeway widening, the city of Petaluma also loses over $1 million per year for local road repairs. Janice's position actually stems from her desire to stop the Rainier Crosstown Connector because it's close to her home, not because of Corona. If we lose the money for the freeway widening, Rainier is delayed further, which is exactly what Janice wants.
Kathy Miller, this is an elected official who's a liar.
Well, now...
she is an elected official. You can say that.
That's an opinion of yours.
That
correct?
Is my opinion. Yes. And I invited Kathy Miller to take a walk and a bike ride over the Corona overcross.
Yes, you did. I saw that in your
response.
And
Kathy Miller has not responded back. Yeah. So as a council member, she has a responsibility to contact her constituents, whether she likes them or not.
I did respond.
So I contacted her.
I responded to her comment, and I said that that was quite an allegation that she made towards you.
Yeah.
And then I said, let me tell you that I'm also concerned about the Corona Connector. As a resident, a northeast resident of Petaluma, Corona has been my crosstown connector for years. It's outdated and dangerous. I hate riding my bike over Corona now that the Brody Ranch and North McDowell / Corona developments are underway. It's getting worse. For Corona not to be improved as old Redwood Highway was is just plain ignorant. David Rabbit chimed in and said, old Redwood was improved because of capacity. No similar capacity issue exists at Corona.
Well, I mean, then
how can that be?
I mean, because they don't care. They never come to the east side. Maybe they should go.
I want to see how capacity, what the numbers... What was the data that he bases that capacity statement on?
I
want to see the data for both connectors, you know, Redwood and Corona.
I bet he's looking at
all
the data because a lot of people are using...
Well, how can we have all that growth coming in and a train station? People are going
to
drive from the northwest section. Yeah. They're going to go over Corona, over to the east, and catch the train there.
Okay, I wrote this and sent this to the newspaper. Right. It said the No on Prop 6 Repeal Tax campaign states, crumbling bridges and roads puts people's lives at risk every day. Dedicated to improving road safety, the need to improve pedestrian safety, relieving traffic congestion, repairs or replacement of existing bridges and overpassing. Sounds great till you look deeper. And then you look at the Corona. And it's the Corona was built in 1953-54. This is a very dangerous roadway for bicyclists, pedestrian cars. The railing is low. There are metal barriers preventing pedestrians from walking over the structure. The bike lanes are non-existent. Mm-hmm. At the north end of town, our town continues to expand as we see more pedestrians, cyclists using this important outdated connector. The city has proposed a smart rail station at the corner of Corona and McDowell Boulevard. Like the downtown station, not all riders can walk to the smart station. I'm dismayed and disappointed that this regional roadway Corona Crosstown Connector is not included in the 101 widening. And this is the City of Petaluma, County of Sonoma, SCTA, and Caltrans must include replacing the Corona overcrossing while widening 101 through Petaluma.
Well, how do we get that funding to be applied to that? Who makes the decision on that?
David Rabbit. David Rabbit,
so
has
we have to
David
wait
Rabbit,
for our supervisor.
Kathy Miller, and the City of Petaluma and SCTA and Caltrans can sit down and make that decision. But they will
not. So we
not
need to lobby them.
You need to lobby them. And I know this is not popular. Mm. And Jason, you're not going to like it.
No, I'm not going
to
like it.
But this is why my husband and I are considering voting yes to repeal the gas tax because this is irresponsible. I've been following transportation in this town for 25 years.
Well,
and as a matter of fact, my neighbor, Betty Wiley, just passed away, and her and Felix, her husband was a colonel in the Army Air, and, you know, he died a few years back, and they were great Democrats that supported progressive candidates. Mm-hmm. And Felix did this beautiful information about the importance of Corona being an upgraded crosstown connector back in the 1990s. It's because we can see that it circles the city. It already exists. It can be paid for with state and federal funds. And I will say the city of Petaluma, along with David Rabbit, the supervisor, and SCTA, has failed to make that happen. And yet they want us to pay $80 million or more for a crosstown connector that doesn't exist, why we have one that needs to be upgraded.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Jason, though. I agree with everything you say, but I can't bring myself to repeal it. And I do agree with that. It's almost like a hostage.
Well, it's very regressive to do this, but I think the public needs to realize what's at stake here, and when that rail station is there and Corona is not upgraded, wait till somebody's killed on a bike. How many people are going to have to be killed before something happens?
I'd rather you vote no and continue your rant on this show.
I think we're educating. And I don't disagree with that. But this, I'm just saying this because...
This is how you feel.
This is how you feel.
I know.
But the right thing to do is, I've always been supportive of increasing a gas tax.
Yep, I get
it. Because when you drive, you have to be responsible.
Yep.
To pay for the roadways.
You're absolutely right.
But our elected officials need to be responsible, and they're not.
And ironically, you know, the big advantage with EVs, it's better for the climate and everything, but the way we fund things is based on gas tax, and if you're driving an EV, you're not buying as much gas. It's a catch-22 here.
But I do agree with both of you, and I understand, but... Sometimes you have to make a statement.
I understand.
And so people are woken up because they've been brainwashed to believe Rainier is going to do something that it's not.
If you're asking if we're familiar with the fact that you like to color outside the lines, we see that.
Well, look, I
like to run with scissors.
This would be my middle ground position on it. Okay. In the absence of any funding, it's an irrelevant discussion, right? So let's get the funding, and then let's push very hard for our elected officials to channel it where it needs to go. Because it's really in there. I mean, we can talk for days about how we could fix Corona, how we could fix this. We can't fix anything. It's like making the perfect the enemy of the good.
Well, we've got a good start. Starting this show was a good way of doing it.
And the bottom line, in 2 years, we're looking at this city being in financial ruins. And... to spend $80 million or even be talking about that is irresponsible. We need to find revenue.
Yeah.
That's why we're talking today about different types of revenue that we can get.
Right.
TOT, which I will say...
Which Teresa supports. We discussed that at the forum.
The majority on the city council has been opposed to that. David and Teresa have always supported that. When we go on a vacation, I don't look at the TOT tax and I don't say, oh, God, I'm not staying at that
hotel. Yeah, after you pay $17 for a burger in a restaurant
or something. Or $12 or $13 for a cocktail.
So yeah.
Back to where we were on Rainier. So they don't actually have Conklin's quote in here, but they have Teresa Barrett's response to that quote about the devil. And what it was related to was Rainier funding. So he was saying, even if we have to deal with the devil to get it, we've got to get the funding. And so Barrett, when she responded to that, mentioned that she said, without the funding, this is never going to happen, and it is a hollow dream, quote. And then she says, there has been a deal with the devil, and the devil is the promise that we will do this without really funding through. The $21 million that's in place is really a drop in the bucket. Because, yeah, the estimates are like $100 million, something like that. Well, it's about 80 million, they're saying, depending.
But you know something's 80 million is going to be 20 million. You know, go look at the Bay Bridge and all of those, you know, projects.
Yeah.
But I just kind of want to look at something else that was in the front of the Argus Courier. It's talking about pothole payments rated poor. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many more years am I, every election, I'm going to have to hear about potholes.
We're not
potholes,
the worst,
potholes. No, but at times we were when we really weren't because of politics. And so this just kind of galls me that every election I have to hear about the potholes.
So you want to hear something really funny? I mean, this isn't funny, but I had to do a reality check. I've been continuing to have to do a reality check as I'm driving because I drive some of these roads downtown on my bicycle, too, and I'm so used to there being bumps and holes, and all of a sudden it's just like, I'm like, wait a minute, am I actually driving here? What's going on?
Yeah.
So I've gotten so used to that. It is nice that we've seen some improvement. And that's it, what that's my point.
And God bless those people that go out and spray paint a circle around them for us when, our, yeah. when we're driving.
I think you're right. And put a flowers in there.
Yeah,
you know,
I think growth has done a little too much, and it hurt our reputation a little bit. There was a lot of negative, bad marketing for Petaluma.
No,
back
then.
Do you remember that?
I think that's what my point is. Yeah. That it was really negative for our community. And then they were trying to brainwash people about potholes.
Yeah.
And they brainwashed people about Rainier. Cool. They brainwashed people saying, oh, well, the development is going to pay for Rainier.
Right.
And that has none of it has come to fruition.
Well, that's, Janice, that's because you and Jason and I are out there stopping development at every, at every corner.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, that's kind of a strange thing. It's like, okay, we need this Rainier connector. In order to get the funding, we need to approve a whole ton of development that's going to increase traffic so that we can then mitigate it with this crosstown connector that still isn't affordable. It's a very
I think we should create a crosstown connect-o-meter, and at every show, we look to see how far the arrow has moved.
73% of the public voted that they wanted Rainier, and the same 73% voted against funding it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want something, but when they're asked to pay for it, they said no. And that's really what's important, is the public doesn't realize that they have created their own problem.
Yeah.
Because they want, like, you know, wanting some candy, but you can't afford it.
Yeah.
Well, also, how about being fiscally responsible?
That's right.
I mean, is this, I'm for traffic relief. And if Rainier is the best solution for traffic relief for the dollar, I'm all for it.
Me too.
But I would love to have that conversation, because some people say Caulfield would be less expensive and would actually relieve more traffic. I don't know. I don't have those figures. But it's an interesting question. And the thing that does sort of bother me is it's like we've gotten so hooked into this one solution. And I just don't know. Is it the best solution? Is it the most fiscally responsible solution?
You know, it's interesting. With people that have lived in this town or raised in this town, and I'm just going to bring this one example up.
No.
They don't live here anymore. And he made a comment. He goes, well, why not Corona? So people that have lived here a long time realize it's a value.
It exists already.
GPS has changed traffic patterns. People use Gilman Lane because of GPS, and that's not going to change. No, but GPS
because of Waze and things.
Waze. GPS is not going to tell people to get onto Rainier to get to Rohnert Park or to Sonoma. They're going to take you to Corona because that's the whole thing we're talking about as far as shopping centers.
Yeah.
Our shopping patterns have changed. Our driving patterns have also changed. And I think in case of an emergency and if Corona does go down, the city we're in deep trouble.
This is a really thin article, by the way. There was a lot discussed that's not mentioned in this article, so I do encourage everyone to watch the forum if you can. We're going to have a link to it on InsidePetaluma.com.
Yeah, it's a YouTube link. So.
But there were a lot of topics that were brought up. I found it to be an interesting forum. There were definitely some strong contrasts. The tubs were brought up. You know, that was mentioned.
Oh, yeah. Let's not go there.
But, no, I thought the answers by Teresa and Dave were quite good.
Yeah, they were. You can listen to our last show and hear all about that.
Yeah. And there was one where there was one comment where I think Harris was talking about, you know, we have momentum, you know, going into Rainier and everything. And I think Teresa responded very well with, you know, throwing out the term momentum still doesn't answer the question of, you know, where this money's coming from.
Yeah.
We need to remember for institutional knowledge, it was a little bit under $14 million J.P. Morgan loan that the council took out.
David Glass
did that.
That's in our first show. He went into that in detail.
Yes, he did.
In our first show.
And I was actually opposed to that loan because that loan was 4.75%. The city was paying $10,000 a week back on that loan. At a point, they were paying $40,000 a month at a time when our streets were not being fixed. But yet they found money for that. And then with that money, when people say, oh, the city of Petaluma has money for Rainier, no, it was a loan. That's part of where that money came from. Mm-hmm. And then part of that money, I think, I'm not sure if it was $7 or $9 million, was given to SCTA to raise the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
So for some reason, the city of Petaluma has to come up with millions to get what they want for the widening of 101. Santa Rosa didn't. Rohnert Park didn't. Windsor doesn't. Healdsburg doesn't. But Petaluma does.
Mm.
And I do have a problem with that. And at a time when interest rates were like, you know, 2%, why did we have to do 4.75? Because we had a low rating also.
Mm.
Because of a marina loan that has never been paid off. So we still owe a couple million to the marina. And you know, maybe it's history, but those loans still exist and they have to be paid off. And that's why the city's rating was low.
Mm.
And that's why we had a 4.75% loan. It was, I think, a 15-year loan.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of money to be paid back. So sometimes it's good to have institutional knowledge, and at other times it's not.
There was some discussion on housing, too. There was David on that development came up. And I liked Dennis's response to that and Teresa's as well. And essentially, if we're going to keep, creating these housing projects that are car-based, where you have to get in and out of your car to get to them, that's not really a good future. It's not going to help the traffic issues.
Yeah, I happen to know what type of car some of the candidates drive, and I have no comment.
Ooh.
You mean like the big trucks?
No, like a Dodge Charger.
Right.
I love the EV trucks we're leasing, and the incentives with Sonoma Clean Power, and some of the companies that are offering these EVs.
Actually, there's going to be a change in the amount that you get back with the state very soon, because they've used up the dollar amount that was going to be used. I just heard that today.
Yeah,
I just got something in the mail about that.
Did you? Yeah. And actually, Volkswagen is having to contribute to some of these incentives.
Well, not a surprise.
Anyway.
Okay, so I'm putting my newspaper away. That's what that noise is, everyone.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it's about getting to be about that time.
Well,
so
there's also the healthcare district. You know, there's some people running for the healthcare district that people need to learn, and who they are and what they do and why they want to be on it, I think, is important. But I also, the school board, I think, is really going to be a very interesting election.
Mm-hmm.
The three new candidates are interesting. The existing board, they had a lot of good comments also.
Yeah, they're all endorsed by the Democratic Party as well.
Well, Joanna Pond, Caitlin Quinn, and Maddie Cloud were endorsed. The others...
That's what I meant. The new candidates were endorsed.
The new candidates. Yeah. Two of the other candidates, Mike is not a Democrat. Phoebe is not a Democrat.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Sherry Klebowski is, but she declined to be interviewed.
Is that recent that she is?
Sherry? No, I think Sherry.
No, she was Republican before.
But I think she changed to Democrat. So they declined to be endorsed.
That's a popular split, I hear.
In Sonoma County, it's becoming the Sonoma Crack is what it's called.
It's easier to get elected if people think you're a Democrat.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so we got just a couple of minutes here. We need to, our webpage, we need to keep putting that out there for you.
Yeah.
You go in there, and I think the links to the past shows, are they titled with?
Yes.
Okay, so... If you can,
it's really clear.
You don't have to listen to all of them to find the information that you want. It's very clear. If there's a particular subject you want to hear something on, then it's plain to see. And that is at insidepetaluma.com.
Yep.
And, again, we're on every Friday from 11 to noon right here at KPCA 103.3 FM. And we also stream live at kpca.fm. And we also have an email, don't we, if people want to give us feedback?
Or? Info at insidepetaluma.com.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, if people want to come on and have issues to talk about or just...
if you got a particular subject.
Yeah.
And do check the campaign finance reports. Those are posted on the site. We're going to try to get into that a little bit more, but I guess that'll be another episode.
Yeah. Remember when we were worried we wouldn't have enough to talk about on the show? It's like, we got to meet beforehand and make a list, or we're going to run out of things to talk about. Yeah, right.
Petaluma, you never run out of things to talk about.
Exactly. So
it helps having three people.
Yeah. Well, and two. Well, you know, we're very introverted people, aren't we?
All three of us, exactly.
The three of us,
like,
yes.
Pleasure being with both of you. I'm just really enjoying it, and you know, and it's fun, and
I hope
you know,
others
I
as well.
Pardon me?
I hope others are enjoying it.
At least we are.
Yeah. At least I enjoy myself. Okay, so thanks again for listening to Inside Petaluma, and see you next time.
KPCA-LP, Petaluma, California.